views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, dagger riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is November the 12th, 2015. It is a Thursday afternoon. Do want to welcome in those who are listening to some of our pre-recorded programming. The Lotus Place radio show was just playing before we came on air with this live stream. For those that want to check out the rest of that program, I don't know how far you were into it, but all you need to do is go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, look in the menu that says The Lotus Place. Once you find that menu item, just click on or hover over it. Podcast menu will show up behind it. Click on that. It'll take you to the podcast. You can listen online or download it to your computer or whatever device you're using. So today I'm only going to be on air for about an hour, but depending on listener participation, any calls we get, if I need to extend it, I will extend it. I don't like staying on air any longer than is needed to disseminate information, because there are other things that I can be working on. So I don't like just hearing myself talk or anything like that. I'm on here to give information, give you my thoughts and commentary about whatever it is that I'm talking about, and then moving on, getting ready to engineer the next program or writing an article or doing something that needs to be done in terms of our media operations. Now, so today I do want to talk about something. To me, it is worth discussing. It is important. I want to talk about the demonization of the Missouri hunger striker, the student named Jonathan Butler. I've been seeing some conversations on Facebook related to him, and things about, oh, he's from a wealthy black family, his father is worth millions of dollars and stuff like that, and as if that disqualifies him from taking a stand against racism and practicing justice and trying to implement a system of justice on the Missouri campus. What does his economic social status has to do with standing up for justice? It shouldn't have anything, but I don't know. From some of the comments that I read from some black people, that if you ain't dirt poor, living in a tenement or living in the ghetto with in a roach infested apartment or something like that, then you can't struggle for black people. You can't speak for black people because you ain't poor enough, or you ain't suffered like we suffered. Look, this is the way I look at it. I ain't never been in prison, but that ain't gonna stop me from trying to implement a system based on justice and ending 21st century slavery and human trafficking. I am not getting, every time I go out the house, I am not being pulled over by a cop, stopped and frisked and searched and all that. But that doesn't disqualify me from talking about the issue and disseminating information and giving other people a voice on this platform that have experienced those issues. And so we already, I feel like, have enough that divides us in terms of our ethnic group or in terms of our racial classification. There's already, look, we already ain't all on the same page. We already have many different people who believe a different thing. But my thing is like something I hear Mr. Neely Fuller talking about all the time, or a word that he uses a lot, logic. To me, it is not logical to say that he's not qualified, and I'm talking about Mr. Butler, to stand up on his campus and have a hunger strike until a suspected racist president and chancellor, because not only has the president resigned, but the chancellor has resigned as well. But as if, you know, his social economic status of coming from a wealthy family worth millions of dollars like that disqualifies him from getting in the fight in this war against racism and injustice, wherever it rears its ugly head. So I'm like, that is just not logical to even be questioning whether or not he got enough street cred, so to speak, to speak out on these issues. But prior to seeing those conversations on Facebook and reading a different commentary and whatnot, and I also had, because I subscribe to a whole lot of different websites, a lot of racist suspects website propaganda media, because I'm gathering intelligence on the enemy. All right, you supposed to know your enemy. How you going to know your enemy if you don't never pay attention to what your enemy is doing or what tactics he's using? And there is a propaganda part to warfare. There, you know, propaganda has always been a part of warfare. And so I saw the night before, and I wasn't even planning on talking about it, because I was like, let me just throw this in the trash bin. This ain't nothing but Alex Jones practicing racism and claiming that Mr. Butler and the other students on that campus that engaged in protests to oust a suspected racist, that he's funded or they're funded by George Soros. This has also been said about the people who were protesting in Ferguson, which isn't that far away from the University of Missouri campus, and connecting all of these rich white folks to saying that they're funding these movements is just nonsense. It's nonsense. And then also, I don't see how it matters. I don't see how, I mean, how do you fund a hunger striker? I mean, what kind of money does it involve for a person to go on a hunger strike? And as far as I know, only thing it's going to cost is to print out your poster board or write whatever slogans or messages on it that you want, you know, people to read and to know why you're doing what you're doing. I mean, come on now. Let's be serious. Let's be logical. And it is illogical to suggest that somebody funded him or put him up to this. But that's what racist suspect media is engaging in. Those are the talking points. And, we have to counter that. We have to counter the racist propaganda that seeks to misinform people, to demonize people, to strip them of their humanity, to turn them into puppets of wealthy white liberals and stuff like that. And so there are just so many angles that we can approach this from. Now, on Alex Jones turned me on to some information. Years ago, I think it was in 1999 when I first came across PrisonPlanet.com, right? And so back then, you know, he was really just talking mainly about, you know, government conspiracies, and conspiracies do exist. You know, the word conspiracy has a negative connotation or a negative rap associated with it. But I mean, let's not act like conspiracies don't happen. Conspiracies happen all the time. All a conspiracy is two or more people getting together, deciding that they are going to do whatever it is they're going to do. And that's a conspiracy. Just like there is a conspiracy on the Black Talk Radio Network to provide our target audience, which is black people, but we do understand more than just black people listen to this station. There is a conspiracy. Several of us got together and we said, you know what, we don't think that there is any kind, that there isn't enough media out there that is providing black people with the truth. That is not, that is providing black people with information that they can use to understand the system of racism and how it works. So we got together and built this platform, you know. Well, I built the platform, but, you know, I was in conversations about people about, you know, should I do this or should I do that, or what do you think about this or what do you think about that. But then I conspired with Max Partis to start New Abolitionist Radio so we can combat the propaganda lies of the racists out there. They want people to think that slavery was abolished in 1865 and we've been free. This country has been free of institutional slavery or systemic slavery since that time period, over 150 years ago. So, yeah, I did conspire with some other people to produce that program and provide people with that's all a conspiracy is, people. It's people coming together, two or more people coming together and coming up with a plan and then coming up with a plan of action. And then implementing it. So, I mean, all this stuff about, you know, conspiracy theories and whatnot, you know, some of them are ridiculous, but let's not act like conspiracies do not happen. But that is what Alex Jones mostly engages in and talking about the global conspiracy of the elites behind the scenes and whatnot. And I have over the years gotten a lot of good intelligence on the system from him, but for whatever reasons he decided to follow the, but maybe he wasn't making enough money of pushing, you know, those conspiracy theories, whether they were valid conspiracy theories or not. You know, maybe he wasn't making enough money doing that, so he changed his business model to become one like Fox News or CNN, or because he has been showcased on CNN and just pushing propaganda out there. Race baiting is what I know they like to say, that's what Al Sharpton does and that's what Jesse Jackson does, is we're race baiting, you know. But that's what they do. That's what they do. They do what maybe we'll call it reverse race baiting, when white people are engaged in acting like they're victims. They playing the victim card. Oh, you know, these black people victimizing us, standing up for their rights and not tolerating our racist BS and whatnot, you know. So that seems to be what he is engaged in, you know, along with, I think his name is Paul Watson. It might be Joseph Watson or Paul Joseph Watson or something like that, this racist suspect from England, who wrote a very good book called Order Out of Chaos. And, you know, just talking about in that book, he talks a lot about the intelligence communities or the intelligence agencies of different governments like the United States, the United Kingdom, Israel, and them doing things behind the scene, manipulating, you know, stuff like, you know, supporting ISIS and other proxy terrorist groups like that. You know, that's where, from them is where I first learned about the Hegelian dialect, you know, where people create a problem, they're the problem, and then they come to the people, or the masses, like they got the solution. to the problem that they created. But see, you don't know they created the problem. And so therefore, any solution that they're going to implement is going to be a solution that not necessarily addresses the problem, but somehow or some way the solution is going to be one that they benefit from and not the masses. So, I mean, I learned a lot from them racist suspects in terms of globalism and how these different racist governments dominated by white people, how they practice injustice from behind the scenes. But of late, all I've been seeing them engage in is race baiting and demonizing the Black Lives Matter movement and demonizing individuals and just basically following the business model of Fox News so that they can feed a whole bunch of disinformation or propaganda to racist suspects and racists who visit their websites and whatnot. So I saw in my email from him, they sent out, like an email blast of the different stories that's on the website. And I saw that story about George Soros funding Mr. Jonathan Butler's hunger strike or the movement against racism on that campus. And I just threw it in the trash, digitally threw it in the trash. But then when it started coming up among people that I'm connected to on Facebook, black people trying to, implement a system of justice or just discussing elements of the system of injustice and just, hashing it out and bouncing stuff off of each other. But, when I saw those people started deeming like falling for the racist propaganda or whatever, whoever's behind it in the black community, and they probably taking their cues from white people, white racists, and demonizing, he come from a rich family, he's not poor, and all this and that. It's just sad. But that's how I came across this clip of Alex Jones. And again, I'm just saying Alex Jones because before I play this clip of Alex Jones telling lies, let me just put this out there. Because we do have black people who are part of this so-called patriot movement that Alex Jones and a lot of people on his website, they like to think of themselves as patriots. And, they have high praise for their white supremacists enslaving Africans and whatnot, like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. See, they ain't got a problem with people practicing slavery. That does not disqualify them from being their heroes. But yet they want people to think that they are in danger of being enslaved, or they talk about slavery in a different context, like, a police state and people coming to take their Second Amendment rights and globalism and a global government, one government and whatnot. See, but in terms of slavery that has happened and is happening to black people, they ain't got a problem with praising people and worshiping people and idolizing people like a Thomas Jefferson, like a George Washington, like a racist Benjamin Franklin and all those others that they call their founding fathers and whatnot. And we got black people subscribing to this to these groups. And you have to make your own decision about who you gonna work with and who you not gonna work with. But I'm just here to tell you, you need to be careful of these people because they practice racism. They like to talk about the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and implementing the Constitution. But at the same time, though, they express racism in their thoughts, action, and speech. So I cannot work with anybody like that, that's espousing that kind of stuff. I can't. I don't get down with people like that. And so any black person that's out there, that you being part of this patriot movement and whatnot, and then you're going around repeating the talking points and the things that they say, going after Jonathan Butler and talking about George Soros funding these justice movements, is what I'm gonna call them. Because being codified means being constructive, right? And I got a lot of constructive information yesterday from Needy Fuller on that broadcast that they do, that weekly broadcast that he does. And so being codified don't mean coming up with code words and stuff like that, you know, coming up with just simply terms. It means to be constructive, at least in the context of which he described it, it's being constructive. And since we know that there is a lot of anti-blackness, and soon as you say black this or black that, then there's going to be automatic, instant opposition to it. So I'm just going to call them justice movements. I'm not going to call them black movements or anything like that, because I know how the enemy minds work. And so I'm going to be codified. I'm going to be constructive. And I'm going to be deceptive, just like they are deceptive. But I'm being deceptive, not in a way to practice injustice, but in a way to promote justice. It doesn't matter that black people predominantly make up the justice movements. What matters is that they're trying to implement a system of justice, not a system of black justice, not a system of white justice, but just simply a system of justice. And so I call these justice movements that we see springing up and whatnot. And there is a major justice movement that has occurred over the past several days on the campus of the University of Missouri. All right. So, with all that said, with this background information that I provided you with of where my thinking is right now, let me go ahead and give out the phone number, because, again, you know, I don't expect everybody to be in 100% agreement with anything I say. I don't expect myself to even be right about everything I say, because I'm still learning. I'm still learning, and I'm willing to be taught. I will humble myself and learn from anyone as long as they are putting out stuff that is logical. Because I'm a thinker. I'm going to think about what it is you're saying. I'm going to analyze it, critically analyze it, and see if I can find the logic. If I can't find the logic, I'm throwing it out. I can't use that because I can't see the logic in it. It has too many fallacies and whatnot. So, if you want to share a observation, you want to engage me in a conversation, let's do that. Let's put our heads together. Let's figure out all the angles. Let's put them all on the table. Let's hash them out. So I don't want anyone to feel like that that this platform isn't open to you to say whatever it is that's on your mind. We'll just hash it out. It's not about being in agreement. It is about having a dialogue that we hope will lead to an agreement and coming up with strategies and ways to implement a system based on justice. So, the telephone number is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. That is 549-032-pound. Once you dialed in, and you want to speak, or you may already be dialed in, just hit star on your keypad. Just hit star 6 and 1. That'll signal me that you want to comment. You can also give us a call, 704-951-5030. 704-951-5030. Now, also, if I have time, and again, I probably have to go over an hour because I'm already been talking for like 30 minutes, 24 minutes already. My time goes by fast, so if I need to go over, I will go over. But I do want to just let y'all know about a tactic To keep slavery in place, a tactic of the racist suspects and proxy racist tools that's out there working as sheriffs and law enforcement officers, and some of the things that they are putting out to the public through the corporate media to demonize these victims of the drug war that are getting out of prison, the 6,000 or so. And although we know that there is some trickery involved in the release of these people, we're not going to hash that out. But I just want to make you aware of the propaganda. So in case if you know you might be in a town hall, you might be invited on a program, you might be asked questions about it. And I just want you to be aware of the talking points of the enemy so that you can come up with your own talking points to combat that in case you find yourself in a public dialogue with people who feel the same way that these sheriffs whose job depends on slavery, you know, continuing to exist. So, you know, so if I have time, I'll get to that. If not, I'll talk about it tomorrow. Alright, so let me go ahead and pull up this video of the suspected racist Alex Jones engaging in deception about this young man, Mr. Butler, being funded by George Soros.
Well, I've been watching, and I've been waiting, and I've been understanding. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And we're here live broadcasting worldwide. So if you go to Union Pacific Corporation, UMP is what it trades on, you want to go to institutional investors to find who the biggest controllers are. And that's Wells Fargo, that's Vanguard, that's BlackRock, that's Janus, that's Bank of New York, Mellon, Goldman Sachs, all the usual players, one of the biggest railroads in the world. And George Soros is a giant holder in this company. And in its Canadian division, he's even bigger with, guess who? Warren Buffett. That's the Wells Fargo and Berkshire Hathaway both have giant positions in Union Pacific. Why is that important? Well, it's not that they killed the Keystone Pipeline over and over again and the Alaska Pipeline over and over again because they transship oil out of Canada by train to the Chinese and Japanese supertankers and then cut out actual mom-and-pop producers and others. No, that's not the scam I'm talking about right now. It's Mizzou hunger striker claims he's oppressed, rips white privilege, comes from family worth $20 million. His father is a railroad vice president and made over $8 million last year. Oh, you're so oppressed. And you look at the arrogance of this guy. Somebody at a frat heard a racial slur a year ago, and then somebody in the bathroom drew a swastika with poop. I'm not saying that to be gross. That's what happened. And now it's hysteria. And then at Yale, you're going to allow college student parties in private frats. No, don't do it. No, no. Please. Oh, it's so scary. Oh, my God. How dare you? I mean, she's crying harder than people I know when family dies. This is how whacked out they are. Meanwhile, they're led by Pied Pipers. Like Jonathan Butler. By the way, there's a bounty. $1,000, whoever does an interview with him and brings up the fact that his father's tied into Soros and tied into Buffett, the usual suspects through their foundations, funding the Black Lives Matter, go after the cops, crap. Ooh, I'm sick of these people. George Soros is running around on record trying to shut down my media operation through Media Matters and others whose memos have been leaked. They want to shut down all other alternative media, Drudge, talk radio, you name it. And then they get to run these front guys in there to create racial division and to divert from black people being aborted, 52% of them, and the fluoride targeting them. Black people are targeted, and it's by fake liberals like Margaret Sanger. and George Soros, and don't forget Warren Buffett, who heads up the eugenics program worldwide with Bill Gates. But Bill Gates is very liberal and loves you and has all those inoculations for Africans, and he's helping fund and support groups as well. And that's why CNN, ABC News, NBC, MSNBC, New York Times, they're all, yes, the poor students don't want to see costume parties. It's reasonable. Fire the leadership. Fire the professors that say there's free speech. Yes, it's very reasonable to have the professor resign there at the universities because they support free speech. Get rid of them. And then it's all led, as usual. It's like the clock kid. His dad's been caught doing stunts before. He's moving out of the United States. He takes the guts of an electrical clock from the 80s, won't tell him it's not a bomb, runs around with it with the timer set ticking down as the police panic, setting them up so that they would arrest him. Okay, looks like a bomb. It's ticking down. What is it? Tell us. Not going to tell you. Tick, 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 tick. Bomb squad, get it out of here. Oh, look, the police are bad. And, of course, they can show you bad police all over the place. I've got 4 articles today that I've seen where they're indicting police for horrible stuff. Because there are crazy, evil people that get badges and guns. Absolutely. And they kill close to 1,000 people a year. Most of them criminals and gangbangers. But a couple hundred are innocent. Is a couple hundred innocent people getting killed the number one issue in America? No, it isn't. Is hundreds of thousands having drug interactions, 50-something thousand dying from them, flesh-eating bacteria killing hundreds of thousands, drug-resistant TB spreading everywhere, a totally open borders, world government being announced, trillions upon, well, quadrillions in derivatives, and all the craziness and war with Russia and hundreds of thousands of Christians being killed by Al-Qaeda forces funded by our government and fluoride brain-damaging everybody. And nanotech and Hadron Colliders and all the... No, the only thing in America is cops kill 200 innocent people a year. Roughly. And when they do it, we'll chew them out and go after them. But you don't like the police state laws, go to the legislatures. You don't like the TSA, go to Congress. They want to divert us onto the first floor of this instead of the top of the pyramid. Go after the top.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, my name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines, known as USA Inc. Again, the phone number, if you have an observation, something you want to share about what we just heard from the racist suspect, suspected racist. He's certainly practicing racism there. So I think we can just call him a racist. I've seen enough from Alex Jones to call him a racist. See, I know, you know, in being constructive and codified and whatnot, you just can't call people racist because that's a very serious charge. You got to have evidence and whatnot. And so I've seen enough over the years that I can call Alex Jones a racist. That's why I publicly called for KRS-One and Professor Griff to stop going on Alex Jones' program and being proxy racist tools, all right, and not proxy racist tools to harm black people, but proxy racist tools to confuse black people about the nature of Alex Jones's operation. See, he want to make it showcase some black people and some very well-known black people and make it look like, oh, he cares about everybody. Oh, the enemy is the enemies of the Constitution and we need to all stand together and all this and that. And yeah, and I haven't seen Chris KRS-One or Professor Griff on that program since. And I'm glad, you know, because we make mistakes. We may not have all the information. You know, none of us is above making mistakes, and you know, we want to try to reach people, as many people as possible, and try to find, see if there's any allies out there that can help us against help us in this fight against injustice. And it shouldn't be just us fighting against injustice. It shouldn't be on one person or one group, one ethnicity to be fighting in this global war against injustice. It should be everybody. But that's why we got to do background on people. We got to pay attention to what they're saying, the words there. We got to pay attention to their modus operandi or their modes of operation. And Alex Jones is a racist, man. I mean, every black person, any black, let me put it this way. Any person who believes in a system of justice and practicing justice, if you got a person who is idolizing a horrible, I hesitate to even classify him as a human being, but the horrible plantation owner, raper of enslaved Africans, Thomas Jefferson. I mean, I'm like, man, then you need to, that should be an indication that this person ain't right, that this person don't know what justice is, that this person is obviously ignorant. Now, yeah, you do try to inform ignorant people, but if they want to hold on to their ignorance or whatnot, when they're presented new information and they still want to hold on to those beliefs and false information, then let them. Let them. But you get away from them. You stay away from them. You do not work with those type of unstable people who idolizes a rapist, who idolizes a person who enslaves another human being, who idolizes people like that. Well, people that would follow in their footsteps. That's who. And Alex Jones is a racist. And really, that was like the most incoherent garbage that I heard, you know, state. I mean, he's all over the place, man. He's all aboard, black people getting aborted at 53% rate and this and that, and Margaret Sanger and liberals this and liberals that and whatever, man. People who are informed do not buy into either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or wearing labels like I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative. What the hell do those labels indicate? Huh? What do they mean? Actions speak louder than labels. And I know we use labels to try to understand where a person is coming from. But in some cases, you know, those labels don't matter. What matters is the ingredients. What matters is what they're actually practicing. And liberals and conservatives in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party both practice racism. Don't mistake them showcase black politicians in Washington, D.C. who have all fallen in line behind a racist like Hillary Clinton to think that the rest of us, millions, tens of millions of black people think like they think, or that we support Hillary Clinton. Just like all white people don't support Hillary Clinton, all white people don't support the Republican Party. But that's what they think about us. That's how people, racists like Alex Jones, think about us. Like we're defined by what showcase people in the system do or how they think. But what he was engaging in is crap. Let me see. This is what's his headline. This is what is on the video as well. Confirmed. Mizzou hunger striker is George Soros operative. Politically correct police state growing on campuses across America. Now, Did he reveal any ties? Did he have a smoking gun saying that Mr. Jonathan Butler was funded? He got a grant to start some organization. I guess it would call Hunger Strike Is Us or something like that. I don't know. He started some organization to address a certain issue, and he applied to the Open Society Foundation, which is funded by George Soros, and he got a grant to go on his hunger strike. Did he come up with a smoking gun like that? No. What did he do? Because Mr. Butler's father works for Union Pacific as a vice president or whatnot. And Union Pacific's, one of its largest shareholders is George Soros. So that means that George Soros is funding this justice movement on Missouri campus. I tell you, man, that is the most illogical garbage, piece of garbage I've heard in a long time. So that means then that any of you out there listening to my voice, let's say you work for McDonald's or whatever, you know, you one of those poor unfortunate souls who've been forced to flip burgers and whatnot because you couldn't find another job to pay you living wages and whatnot, but you're working at McDonald's. But because you see that McDonald's ain't paying you right, you join with other McDonald workers across the world and other fast food workers across the world, and y'all protest. So does that mean that McDonald's is funding the protests against itself because its workers, some of its workers, are on a work stoppage or strike against McDonald's? Of course not. So, but that's the logic or the illogic that Alex Jones is using there. Oh, because his father is the vice president for the Union Pacific Railroad, and his father paid for his scholarship to Missouri. I mean, not scholarship, but paid for him to go to Missouri University. And he probably bought his books and feeds them and provides them with transportation and whatnot. Then that means then, because his father is paid by George Soros, well, not even directly paid, but he's paid by a company that George Soros owns stock in, then now George Soros is funding these protests that's going on Missouri. That don't even make no sense whatsoever. He is not engaging in any kind of logic whatsoever. He is engaging in propaganda. He's engaging in racist propaganda. Because, see, he knows that a lot of conservatives, a lot of racist white people, that go to his website and leave all kind of racist comments in the comment section and whatnot. He knows that they don't like George Soros. They see George Soros as this ominous, and he very well may be. Who knows? Who knows? He may have shared some truthful information with us there, and that George Soros is teaming up with the owner of Microsoft, Bill Gates, to provide vaccinations in Africa that ultimately are harming people. Now, I haven't seen any evidence of that. I've heard a lot of people talk about it and whatnot, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying that I haven't not looked into it myself to find the evidence that this is in fact true, that those vaccines that they are giving black people in Africa is causing sterilization. But I know the history of racist white people practicing eugenics and whatnot, and of course, you know, so he knows that George Soros is like a lightning rod for these racist suspects and whatnot, that he's a very polarizing figure. So yeah, I'll just say this guy is an operative for George Soros, because you know his daddy works for Union Pacific, and George Soros owns stock in Union Pacific. So George Soros in effect is paying the salary as a stockholder in this company of this man's father, and this man's father is providing for his basic needs. So yeah, George Soros is funding it. And if you read the comments either on the video or if you read the comments on Infowars.com where this article is published talking about confirmed Mizzou's hunger striker is George Soros operative, that these people are not engaging in any kind of logic whatsoever. They just co-signing on to that garbage. They are not employing any critical thinking skills whatsoever. Or which is probably more likely, because I try to think that everybody has a little bit of what they call common sense. I like to think that the majority of these people on earth, unless they're afflicted by some kind of disease or condition, medical condition like Down syndrome or something like that, you know, that they would be able to see right through what this man said and scrutinize what he, but I don't know. Maybe they are really just a bunch of dumb knuckle draggers and whatnot. Or maybe they just don't care because they are engaging in Nazi propaganda. That's what Alex Jones said. I was just posting about this the other day about the big lie. The big lie is a propaganda tactic. For those who study propaganda, you know that the big lie is a propaganda concept that was thought of by Hitler. It was thought of him, and it was in his book, Mein Kampf, and he was talking about it in there. Let me pull this up, because I just posted the big lie on Facebook the other day, but I was talking about black people believing a big lie about slavery being abolished, or believing a big lie that every last single one of us are the descendants of enslaved Africans, that if you tell a lie big enough and often enough, that people will believe it and they will repeat those lies without using any kind of logic whatsoever to scrutinize what's being said. Let me see if I can find, because I want to read his quote directly to you. So I'm just scrolling my Facebook page for a second. It was just the other day. All right, here it is right here. The big lie. All right, I used the graphic of Morpheus. And Morpheus is saying, what if I told you your ancestors were not enslaved and came to America from Africa, lived among the Indians and the colonists, and many fought in the American Revolution? Because what I have observed is that most black people, most, and when I say most, I mean 99% of black people I have engaged in conversation or listened to on issues of slavery and whatnot, they all think that they are descendants of enslaved Africans. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because your ancestor was victimized. They didn't do anything wrong. They were victimized. All right, but I'm not going to claim to be something that I'm not. What's the benefit in me claiming to be something that I'm not? And see, this goes to the question of knowledge of self. That so many of us haven't taken the time to research our own personal family history, and we buy into this line, this propaganda line that, oh, this country was settled by white people and white people fought against King George and they did it all. They did it all by themselves. They created this country all by themselves. And that's a big lie. And that's what they want you to believe, so you don't think you have an invested interest in what goes on in this country. So you'll be like, I'm leaving. I'm going to Africa. I'm leaving. This is their country and whatnot. See, we believe in those white people's lies that say, this is our country. We taking our country back. This ain't your damn country. This is my country. This is my country just as much as anybody else's. But the big lie says, this is a direct quote from Adolf Hitler. This is what Alex Jones is engaging in. If you tell a big enough lie, and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. And that is what I have observed from gathering intelligence from PrayersAndPlanning.com, which is the sister website of Infowars.com. If they ain't blocked me, because I ain't seen any tweets coming out from their Twitter account anymore. They may have blocked me because they don't want to answer questions, and I've extended the invitation to Mr. Watson to come on this program and have a conversation about his talking about George Soros is funding Black Lives Matter or any other garbage that he's putting out about black people deserve to get killed by these cops. But that's what they engaging in. So that's the big lie. That's the big lie, that George Soros is funding the Missouri campus protest, the justice movement. And then he minimizes terrorism. He's minimizing terrorism, making the little voices and, oh, she's crying and they call me nigger and they took their feces and wrote a swastika on the wall and all that. See, if he was really against fascism, if he was really against Nazism, he would be talking about, apparently we have some fascist Nazis on the campus of Missouri University that are writing swastikas on the wall. But, I mean, because everybody, if you ask a person, I come across only one person, and he didn't really endorse Hitler and the things that Hitler did. He didn't openly agree with that, but it was an old white man that I had came across in a group. What do they call those? They don't even really have them anymore. It just call it a message board. All right, and this was like back in 1999, you know, is when I first got on the internet and whatnot. And I was participating in this group. I can't remember the guy's handle or whatnot. But it was this old German dude, and he was like a World War II veteran, fought in the German army, and he was proud of what they were able to accomplish militarily, saying that no army had conquered so much so fast than what the German army did. Now, he said that he didn't agree with Hitler and all this and that, but it didn't cause you to be a conscientious objector, did it? No, you followed them orders, didn't you? So that's you telling me you didn't agree with Hitler's thing. You were carrying out Hitler's orders. You were carrying out the Final Solution. You were oppressing people. So, of course, Alex Jones ain't going to tell you that he is secretly a Hitler worshiper, that he secretly adores Hitler and whatnot. But he's engaging in Hitler's propaganda tactics by telling big lies and repeating those lies over and over. So he must be a fan of Hitler. He must be. And he certainly ain't got a problem with swastikas being painted on the wall in human feces, and he's minimizing it. Oh, these people are whining about nothing. Oh, they called me nigger one time, and all, just minimizing. When there is a timeline of events that happened just this year, it wasn't just one incident, it wasn't just two incidents, not even just three incidents, but several incidents of racial social terrorism going on that campus. And I don't care if it was just one time. And Mr. Butler said that since 2008, he has experienced several acts of racist terrorism on that campus, going back to 2008. He even had physical confrontations with racists on that campus. But what the racists out there in the media is doing, oh, there was just one or two incidents. There's nothing to see here. These people just whining about nothing and whatnot. He's minimizing social terrorism. I don't care if it was only one act of social terrorism. One act of social terrorism is one act too many. And many of these students, like Mr. Butler, he didn't go there on scholarship. His father has made plenty of money at Union Pacific to pay for his tuition and pay for him to get an education. And if you paying for something, I'll be darned. I'm paying all this money, and I'm going to tolerate this social terrorism on campus. Now, Mr. Butler and many others said they went through the proper channels. They filed their complaints in a way that was prescribed by the system. You know, you go file. I don't know the exact protocols that's in place there. I don't know if you first go to some, you know, a counselor or something, or, you know, you go to the secretary, or you fill out the form, or whatever. I don't know. But they said that they had raised these concerns several times with Mr. Wolf, and Mr. Wolf didn't give a damn. He didn't care. He sought to minimize those acts of terrorism that black people were just whining about nothing. That's what Alex Jones is doing. So they went through the system, as you heard him say. That's why you go to Congress. That's why you go to the people at the top of the pyramid. And all this and that. Because, see, they can control you then. They can bog you down in a bureaucracy. Hell, we should know by now that filing complaints through the Justice Department do not lead to just outcomes. If the Justice Department was practicing justice, then there would have been people on trial, charged with a crime that the Justice Department said they committed in Ferguson. This is in their own report. But people went, you know, and the only reason they came in to investigate was because people took to the streets and disrupted business as you. They said, no business as usual. We're going to disrupt things. We're going to hit you economically. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then that's when the Justice Department came in. Then when the whole world started watching, that's when the Justice Department moved in and said, we're going to investigate this. And then at the end of the day, what good did their investigation do? Yeah, one or two racist suspects got demoted or forced to resign or whatnot, but the system's still in place. Nobody was punished. They did not face any kind of punitive actions or whatnot, even though they violated federal law, according to them. They didn't. So, see, him saying that, you know, I don't hear him saying that to white people that I suspect are racist that are in that patriot movement that was like saying, Obama practicing slavery, this Obamacare, you know, giving health care to people, poor people, or expanding the Medicaid rolls and all this and that. That's slavery. And he ain't telling them. No, they saying, let's impeach this guy. Let's impeach him. They saying, let's impeach him. And they tried to, but they ain't got the votes to do it. So they take to the streets, and they have these little patriot movements and demonstrations, and had their little open carry stuff, and threatening people. Plotting and planning to overthrow the United States government because the U.S. government ain't practicing justice where they concerned, in their opinion. I don't hear anybody ever talking about the American revolutionaries. Y'all should have just went through the system. You should have just went to the top of the food chain and told King George, please grant us an audience and address our issues. We don't like these British soldiers harassing us and stopping and frisking us and beating up teenagers in the community and practicing all kind of injustice. No, he ain't suggesting that. No, when he talk about the American revolutionaries, you know, they are heroes because they said, don't tread on me. And they took up arms and they overthrew the tyrannical system that they said was oppressing them. See what I'm saying? They want you to do something that they ain't willing to do themselves, that they ain't done themselves. They want us to go through the system and the protocols that they set up that for hundreds of years now we see ain't about producing justice. But he's minimizing social terrorism. He's minimizing it. I bet you if I went to his studios, right, if I went to his studios and I asked to use the bathroom, and while I'm in the bathroom, I'ma take a dump on the floor, and then, you know, hopefully I got a pair of gloves, and I'ma put my gloves on, and I'ma pick up some doo-doo off the ground, off the floor, and I'ma write on his bathroom mirrors, Alex Jones is a racist. Then we'll see if he feels like, you know, complaining about me putting feces on his wall and calling him a racist. See if he thinks that's just nothing to complain about. That it's just, oh, it's nothing. It's just minor. Did just whine. Oh, they called me a nigger and he called me a racist. And see what I'm saying? Double standard, man. It's double standard. Please, if you're a black person, or if you are a person of any color, and you believe that we need to be implementing a system of justice, stay away from Alex Jones. Don't be going on his program, because this man ain't about justice. This man is about racism and white supremacy. That's what he's about. And he would have you believe, just like Tim Wise. See how that works? Liberals, and he would classify himself as a conservative. At least that's what his business model is now, is pandering to the racists in the conservative party and riling them up and race baiting so he can get a bunch of clicks on his website and advertisers and all this and that. But he want to talk about people complaining about First Amendment speech. See, that's what he's talking about. People using verbal terrorism to call people niggers and all that kind of stuff to harass people. That's covered by the First Amendment speech. For those that have listened to this program for at least over a year, y'all, or been aware of BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com for over a year, or you subscribe to the Black Talk Media YouTube channel, y'all know that I went at it. I was in a little dispute. I ain't gonna say I went at him, but I was in a dispute with some false information that the liberal so-called anti-racist Tim Wise put out when he wrote on his Facebook page that I suppose people have a right to yell nigger in the street. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's the gist of what he said. He was like, black people can't be knocking out white people just because they call them niggers and whatnot. Well, I disagree. If you run up on me and you call me a nigger, then I'm suspecting that you might try to lynch me. And I'm not waiting around to find out. I ain't waiting for you to pull your gun out your waistband or whatever. I'm not waiting for you to stab me. You have already threatened me by calling me a nigger, because we know that that word is associated with terrorism against black people in this country. And guess what? You're going to get knocked the hell out, if not shot, before you shoot me. That's how I was taught to fight. That's how my older cousins and stuff taught me how to fight. If somebody come run up on you and they threatening you and they yelling at you in your face and calling you names and stuff like that, and they invade your personal space, you throw the first punch. You don't wait for them to hit you first, because you don't know how strong they are. You don't know what kind of web. They might have some brass knuckles on or something like that. And then if they hit you first, you could get hurt. You could be so hurt by that first blow, it's all over. It's all over. So they taught me that if a person invades your personal space, don't sit up there and allow them in or engage in arguing with them. Knock them the hell out. Knock them, hit them in their solar plexus so they can't breathe, or hit them in the throat, or kick them in the nuts, or whatever. You throw the first punch so that you will then give yourself the advantage. Because I do got a knockout punch. So Tim Wise want to tell black people and white people that subscribe to his page that calling people niggers in the street or any kind of racial slur is protected speech. And I was like, oh, hell no, that don't sound right to me. So I did the research. I looked up the case law on people being charged with crimes for calling people niggers and all of that. Does the First Amendment cover racial slurs? And I found throughout the years that the Supreme Court and several state Supreme Courts have determined that no, your First Amendment rights does not extend to depriving me of the enjoyment of life, liberty, and property. I don't have to accept that abuse from you, because see, now you infringing on my rights to be free of terrorism. See, but they don't never think about that when it comes to black people, because in their minds, black people don't have any rights. That's what he is expressing, that a white racist First Amendment speech to call somebody a nigger trumps that black person's, the target of that terrorism, trumps any right that they have to feel safe and secure and be free of terrorism. But again, I did the research, and I found that in case law that no, that is not covered by the First Amendment. And I wrote this and I put it out there, and it got a lot of attention. Because, you know, Tim Wise is this showcase so-called white anti-racist. And even Soledad O'Brien, the showcase black person. I know she got a white parent, but y'all know she's still classified as black. I think she claims her blackness. She claims to be black, so she black. But even her, she came at me on Twitter talking about Tim Wise is right. She came to the defense of the white anti-racist, even though he was giving out incorrect information. She backed him. And I told her, you know, I'm not on here to argue with you. You can read the article. I'll link to the cases. And it is what it is. You do not have a right to run up on me and be calling me a nigger or any other name, because it's called racial in different states. They got different laws. It's called harassment. It's called stalking. And when it's race-based, it's called racial intimidation in some states that I found, where I found some racist white supremacists who had been charged under these laws. So you don't have a right. But that's, again, Alex Jones has the same mindset of the so-called anti-racist Tim Wise, that white people got a right to say whatever they want to say to black people and they can get away with it, that we're being unreasonable if we punch you in the mouth because you terrorizing us. No, we're not the ones being unreasonable. We're showing self-respect, self-preservation, because we know what usually throughout history, what comes following after you call us a nigger. We know what comes next. What comes next is physical violence. So I'm not going to wait for you to pull out your gun or your knife or to bust me in the mouth. I'm going to bust you in the mouth first. And then I'm going to stomp you out while you laying on the ground after I punch you in the mouth. Because I'm defending myself. Now, I might get charged with beating this man like they did my cousin. Did one of my cousins, him and a couple of their friends, well, they were a couple of his cousins on his mama's side, were on the highway in Charlotte, and there was some kind of traffic dispute or something like that, and these white boys was in the car, and they claimed that the guy driving that the car my cousin was in had cut them off or something. So this racist white boy gonna get out the car, pull out a little butter knife, basically a little 2-inch, 3-inch knife, calling them, everybody in the car, niggers and this and that. And then he stabbed the car. He stabbed the roof of the car. Now, see, he didn't know that my cousin was like 200, and I think Vincent, he's no longer with us. May he rest in peace with the ancestors, rest in power. They ain't know that he was a little short. He was shorter than me. He was about 5'10", but about 220 pounds, bodybuilder, been lifting weights all his life. And see, they didn't know that. They didn't know. They thought that they saw this black dude driving, a little scrawny black dude with some glasses. And he didn't know he had this 220-pound muscle-bound black man sitting in the back seat. And my cousin got out. And the dude, I guess he was trying to save face and call him and call my cousin a nigger and say, what you gonna do? I'll stab you too. And my cousin bust him in the mouth. Then when he was on the ground, I think the reason they charged my cousin because he went too far. They say he went too far because after he done beat the dude down, the dude on the ground, he kept picking up the dude by his hair and punting his face like a football. So they ended up charging my cousin. But I think my cousin did beat that charge. It happened so long ago. But what I'm saying is that some of us black people, we are not going to tolerate your terrorism under any circumstance because you do not have a right. You can listen to Alex Jones. You can listen to Tim Wise all you want to and make you think you got a right under the First Amendment. But the case law don't back you up. The law is not on your side. The white racist that's practicing law might be on your side. But guess what? I don't give a damn because I'm going to beat your ass. But that's what he's doing. He's trying to minimize these acts of social terrorism and misinform people and make them think this is just some George Soros funded conspiracy to cause trouble on that campus. That, man, I can't. These are some despicable, deceptive, racist white people out here practicing deception in media. But I'm going to take a station identification break. Check the phone lines. Like I said, I'm not going to be on air any longer than I have to. I got other work to do. But if you have a question or comment, you give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. 549-032-POUND. Hit *61 to comment on air. Take a station identification break, kick some message music, and then we will be back on the other side.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
When we see our people being brutalized by white bigots, white racists, we think that they are foolish to allow themselves to be beaten and brutalized and do nothing whatsoever to protect themselves. They are foolish. They should have the right to defend themselves against any attack made against them by anyone. If a dog is biting a black man, the black man should kill the dog. Whether the dog is a police dog, a hound dog, or any kind of dog. If a dog is fixed on a black man, when that black man is doing nothing but trying to take advantage of what the government says it's supposed to be is, then that black man should kill that dog or any two-legged dog. You'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. Then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to, has to bring an end to, has to bring an end to.
We also recognize that individuals do not create rebellions, conditions do. Until they begin to address themselves to those conditions, rebellions will continue and they will escalate. They will escalate. Sometimes the question has been raised about why black men fight and have fought for this country. It is the black man's implacable will to be free that makes him fight for this country. And it is that same will that will make him fight this country, fight this country, fight. I want to address myself now to problems as they exist in the black community across America. And America cannot be considered as a stable and just society. But no stable and just society can mount a successful offensive against black youth who break a window and at the same time plead that it is powerless to protect black youth who are being murdered because they seek to make American democracy a reality, reality, reality. Each time a black church is bombed or burnt, that is violence in our streets. Each time a black body is found in the swamps of Mississippi and Alabama, that is violence in our land. Each time black right workers cannot be protected by the government, that is anarchy. Each time a police officer shoots and kills a black teenager, that is urban crime. You see, we recognize America for what it is, the Fourth Reich. And we tell America to be on notice, because if you are going to play Nazis, black folks ain't gonna play Jews. Ain't gonna play Jews.
Amen to that, Brother Rap Brown, H-Rap Brown, known as Jamil Alameen now, who is a political prisoner. And again, you know, the threat of me losing my freedom and being put in prison or whatever, if that is going to prevent me from doing what I do in the area that I work in, all right, I'm a coward. I'm a coward and I don't deserve any freedom, all right? If you're afraid to die, then you don't deserve the rights that you say that you are fighting for. I just don't get that. I don't get that. You just think people gonna hand you people that you know practice injustice? You think they just gonna, oh, cause you say I should be treated justly, that they gonna treat you just? No, you gotta make these people. You gotta make them respect your rights. And if that caused me to lose my, well, plenty, I wouldn't be the first one to die, would I? In the court case for justice. My story just might inspire that next freedom fighter that's going to come up with the solution. But what they not going to see is some weak, cowardly black person. I'm not going to present that image to our youth. That isn't the image that was presented to me, and that is not one I'm going to present. They come after me. They have locked up people for less. But guess what? And don't no fear live here, man. And that's what we got to get into some of our people's heads, that, yeah, they might beat you. They might kill you. They might take away your freedom. But guess what? Guess what? You die for a cause. Your life was well lived. You stood on your principles. You stood in asserting your humanity. So I thank the ancestors for people like the Black Panther Party, people like Malcolm X, people like Robert F. Williams, people like my grandfather, people like my uncles, people like my cousins. They told me, you know, you don't, even my mother, you don't accept abuse from anyone, regardless of what the circumstances or what the outcome may be. You do not allow anyone to abuse. If you get kicked out of school for punching a white boy in the mouth who called you a nigger, then guess what? You ain't gonna be in trouble with me. So, yeah, if we want a system that's based on justice, we got to do what it takes to implement that system by any means necessary, like Malcolm said. But getting back to some of this garbage from Alex Jones, he talking about, oh, only a couple of hundred innocent victims. Well, hell, ain't that enough? Oh, they just, you know, the Black Lives Matter people, they out there protesting against the police and all that. But when you first founded your site, you said it was a police state. You said that you were fighting against the police state. Well, the police state been in existence for Black people and other marginalized people since the police was first started in this country, in Boston, in the 1600s. It's been a police state for us. But you talking about white people. You talking about, oh, the white man is being oppressed and there is a police state and they're coming for our guns and they trying to make us, you know, have health care and all this and that garbage. So how many bodies need to pile up on the street, Alex Jones, to justify the current justice movement against police violence and brutality that's in the street? Huh? How many? 1,000? We know they kill 1,000 a year, and some of those may be justified. I have seen some videos where that person made a mistake and made some moves to where they did, they put their own life on the line. You don't play with police pretending like you got a gun and you ain't got a gun and then rip it out. I mean, there is such a thing as suicide by a cop, all right? But we ain't talking about those. We talking about the unarmed victims that's being killed. And in my opinion, it don't matter what color they are. Like, you know, I posted a video of a white person being beat down by police. I posted that on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page, and somebody made the comment, but those are white people. And so freaking what? Those are white people. What I saw was an act of injustice. If they'll do it to a white person, then that means doubly they'll do it to you. So we need to get this person off the street before they do kill a black person. See, they might beat a white person, but that black person, they gonna kill them. So we need to circumvent that by using this case of a white person's rights being violated and getting this idiot off the streets, getting this sociopath off the street before it does touch us personally. See, that ain't, I don't operate on illogic. If I see injustice, I speak out against injustice. It don't matter what the color of the victim is. My target is the system and those that are carrying out the orders of that system. If it was a predominantly white people that was being enslaved under the 13th Amendment, I would still be an abolitionist, because slavery is wrong. That is where I operate from. But see, that ain't where them racists operate from. They, Alex Jones, only care about the rights of white people. And probably little to his knowledge, probably he don't even realize that white men is being gunned down the most. But see, he's operating just like the corporate media operates. They don't want white people to know just how much of a police state they live under and how many of them, they make up the bulk of those 1,000 or so people that's being killed. See, they don't want white people out there in the streets opposing the police. They don't want white people to see themselves as victims. Well, I will showcase them white victims. I'll showcase them, and then I'll throw that up in your face. Don't come at me because you don't care about white people getting killed. So you want to come at me because I care about black people getting killed? No, you the one who don't have any sympathy for your own people. But I'm saying, how you going to sit up there and say, you know, only a couple of hundred cases? Man, please. All of them are practicing slavery and human trafficking. But again, since it's primarily black people that make up the bulk of the new slaves on the new plantations, oh, he ain't concerned about that. You would think he would be if he was really about being a patriot and everybody has constitutional rights, which I don't derive my rights from no constitution. I derive my rights from the Creator. My self-asserted rights of human rights. These people are phonies, man. They phony. So that's why if you get down with people like Alex Jones and whatnot, and you know, you think that you're going to reach out to us and we're going to be allies and all of that. Hell no. Hell no. Because I see your people, these people that you're talking about, is about implementing a better unjust system. I see them practicing injustice and racism. So, no, not interested. I will make moves with who I'm already making moves with, and we'll build our own movement. But let me address this issue about George Soros Fund and stuff. What if he did give that boy a grant? I'm sorry, that young man a grant. Didn't mean to call him a boy. I know the racist connotations of that. He's younger, way younger than me, so. But he's a young person. He's a young man. What if George Soros was funding, giving them money to provide them with resources to engage the system of injustice? So what? Because I've seen black people, without even vetting the information, that George Soros is funding Black Lives Matter, even though I know that the people I've seen that have been engaged in protests in support of the Black Lives, ain't nobody funding them. They ain't getting no grants from George Soros. The young black man we had on New Abolitionist Radio, that's in South Carolina, the South Carolina Black Lives Matter movement representative, he ain't getting no money from George Soros. He ain't out there because somebody paid him to be out there. But what if George Soros said, you know what, I like Black Talk Radio Network. They be speaking truth to power. They're talking about implementing a system of justice. I think I'm going to take $1 million out of my billions, and I'm going to donate it to the Black Talk Media Project. Am I supposed to turn that money down? Am I supposed to say, oh, you a white man, I can't take that $1 million to fund my media operations. I'll just keep scraping and trying to get by. I'll just rely on the few donors that we have, and we'll just keep trying to stretch our dollars and keep this going. No, I'm taking the money. I'm telling you, I'm taking the money. George Soros, if you listening, you want to donate $1 million to Black Talk Media Project, we sure could use it. We will put it to good use in funding our media operations. And you know why I would take the money? You know why I would take that money? Because we last in October, and I'm still trying to get these reports out, man. I apologize. I just, man, being behind and stuff, man. But anyway, and I might have a intern coming aboard. He just got a check with his college to make sure everything gonna be in order, so he can get credit for the work he do with us. But I think it was in August, we had 70,000 people tune into this program. The average person that tunes into the Black Talk Radio Network listens to it at least an hour. 53 minutes, I think it was. All right. So that's a lot of data streaming. That's a lot of people. But guess what? 70,000 of those people did not donate $1 to the Black Talk Media Project so we can continue our media operations. I would say less than 50 people have actually made any donation of any kind to the Black Talk Media Project so we can continue to run Black Talk Radio Network, continue to produce the programs on Black Talk Radio Network, continue to provide media services to other independent black media producers running their own radio stations and posting podcasts to the blog and whatnot, to the website. And so, you know, I would take the money. The only thing that would prohibit me from taking that $1 million would be if George Soros sent over with his check a list of ultimatums. All right, Scotty, I'm going to fund your media operations. I'm going to fund all of you black people on there talking about a system of injustice, talking about racism. I think what you're doing is a great contribution to a better society and whatnot. So I'm going to give you $1 million. I'm going to give the Black Talk Media Project $1 million. But you can't talk about the vaccination program in Africa that, what's his name, the owner of Microsoft, Bill Gates. You can't talk about Bill Gates. You can't talk about Planned Parenthood and just too many black people is having abortions and stuff. You can't talk about that, man. You can't talk about any other companies that I'm invested in that are also invested in private prison corporations or anything like that. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case, but all the investments that he has in all these companies, I'm sure some kind of way those companies are involved in 21st century slavery and human trafficking. So if he sends a list of ultimatums along with that check is going to have to be returned to sender, because I am not going to be bought off. Whatever I have to do to continue these media operations, if I had to go out there with my hat in my hand, with a sign, asking people on the street to fund Black Talk Media, I'll do that. I'll do whatever I need to do. If I need to go sell plasma, if I need to go whatever, I'm going to keep it going by any means necessary. But just because some of these people or organizations get money from white people to fund whatever it is organizations they are doing, that don't mean that they are proxy tools of racism. They only become proxy tools of racism when they start caving in to the demands of racists to not talk about this, not talk about that, don't target this company, don't talk, because they gave us $100,000 last year, so we going to give Wells Fargo a pass, you know, since Wells Fargo, you know, they sponsored the NAACP conference, national conference, whatnot. We not going to talk about them being the second largest investor in the second largest private prison in slavery in the country. See, then there's a problem. Because then you've been bought, and that's a problem. But if don't no stipulations come along with you know, getting you to compromise your principles and getting you to water down your message and to ignore certain areas of the people activity where racism is being practiced, then, you know. So, you know, them saying people, black people out there saying, oh, George Soros was funding them and all this and that. And man, come on, come off of that. If George Soros was going to give you $1 million to do whatever it is you doing to counter the system of racism, and he didn't give you any stipulations to try to control you, you would take the money too. Because you know why? Because it's hard trying to get people who look like us to donate to our organizations and support our organizations. It's hard, man. There are 40 million black people. And again, I ain't even got to use just that. I can just say the people who actually consume the media that we produce. The vast majority of them have not donated one single penny But they come to Black Talk Radio Network every freaking day. They download podcasts and they listen to the live stream and this and that, but you know, they ain't putting nothing in the pot. So if then a rich white person say, I'ma give you a check, I'ma take that check. Long as there's no stipulation. So that ain't no disqualifier of anyone. Hell, I don't ask on the donate button, the PayPal donate button. I don't ask people for their racial classification when they make a donation. So some of, I know one white man that just died. It go by Ed Lips. I don't think that was his real name. Well, I know his real name, but I'm not going to give you his real name. But he went by Ed Lips. First came across him on Blog Talk Radio. I think he had his own show and whatnot. And he been following me all these years, and he was aware of how Blog Talk Radio practiced racism against me and shut down my program because racists were complaining about the name Black Talk Radio, and they shut me down for a week. Well, 3 days, actually, because all the people stood up and said, that ain't right. You are practicing injustice against them. You shouldn't shut them down because they Black Talk Radio. Or they're talking about this, or they're talking about that, and they restored my account. But I was like, it ain't going to happen again, because I'm going to figure out how the hell this internet radio thing works, and I'm going to build my own platform. And matter of fact, I'm going to start a nonprofit organization, and I'm going to teach other black people how to do it, so they can get the hell off of your platform and stop giving their money to racists. And this white man knew. He knew about all of this, and he became a regular donor to the Black Talk Media Project. I'm supposed to tell him, oh, Ed, you're white. I can't take your money. Ed ain't even tell me he was going to donate no money or anything like that. I only found out he was white because he died. And he was getting a post. He was subscribed to the post on Black Talk Radio Network. And his sister was trying to close out all his accounts, and she asked me to unsubscribe his email. And that's how I found out he died. And that's how I found out that he, well, no, I knew he was white. I already knew he was white from Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry. So let's not be trying to demonize black people because they get funds from wherever it is they can get funds from. Because if you ain't donate a dime to them, then who the hell are you to be telling them where to get their budget from? Again, the only problem I would have if they're allowing the money to control them. But I ain't, hell, money is green. That money is green. And if it's done digitally, it ain't even got no color. It's just a bunch of numbers on a computer screen. So that's how I feel about that. Black people talking about black China. And again, I ain't seen nothing to show that Black Lives Matter, whether it's the 501c3 or people just using the hashtag, I ain't seen where they are getting funded by anyone. It may well be that they are getting grants, and that's why they filed for a 501c3 or whatnot. That's okay. I don't care. What I care about is what they do. I care about their actions. I don't care where they get the money from to carry out those actions. Just think logically. We have to get resources from wherever we can get them from. Especially if our own people ain't funding our operations. So, that's what I got to say about that. I'll tell Alex Jones if he had the guts to come on this program and talk about any of this stuff, engage in dialogue. That's what I tell. So what? Hell, you get all your funding from racists that visit your website and, you know, whatnot. So hell, you was the last person to be trying to talk about where somebody getting their money from. I ain't talking about he wrote 4 articles on police brutality. That's all. That's all. Hell, you can put out one every day. And again, these are slave catchers. These ain't police. These is slave catchers. known as police. That's just the name they going by. But they engaged in the same thing they always been engaged in, and that is supporting and enforcing a system of injustice. So now you got this man who started out talking about a police state, talking about standing up for rights and whatnot. But when it comes to black people, though, we just whining and we complaining about nothing. He don't give a damn. I ain't never heard Alex Jones talk about the system of enslavement that's going on in this country. Mass enslavement. Not mass incarceration. It's mass enslavement. It's a continuation of the slavery they always been practicing. No, never. For a person to be claiming to be against the police state, he sure do support it, don't he? Can't stand that man. Like to punch him in the mouth. The last thing, I'm not even going to go into that. I'll share it. I'm going to move on from this. Let me check the phone lines before I move on to the next story, okay? Nobody has any questions or comments. I will move on to these. Speaking of slave catchers, let's talk about these slave catchers known as sheriffs. Let me just pull up this article. I will post a link to it in the program description. I didn't add it, but because I didn't plan to really be on air 2 hours, but hell, the spirit moved me. Let me see. Where's my bookmark? Let's see. The biggest sham. This is coming to you from the racist white propaganda website Fox News. They're a good source of intelligence if you want to know what racist white people are thinking, and their proxies as well, because they got black people working in their operations and Hispanics as well. So, you know, this article says the biggest sham. Sheriffs fume at mass release of 6,000 federal inmates. Call that mass? 6,000 people? As many people as locked up 2.5 million either in prison or jail, and you calling that a mass release? 6,000 nonviolent drug offenders? Who shouldn't even be in there? Because they didn't harm anybody else. They didn't force any drugs on anyone. They didn't, no. They were expressing their freedom and their liberty by consuming whatever it was they was consuming that big government said they couldn't have. I ain't got to agree with somebody smoking crack, but I don't think I have a right to tell them that they should be locked up for smoking crack. I don't think I should be funding a system that's going to be locking them up for smoking crack. I might tell them, you know, crack is bad for your health. You know, it shows that it creates holes in your brain, and your brain don't function properly, and you know, cause all your teeth to get cracking and rotten, and you know, you're losing all that weight. You just don't look good. So if I was you, I'd quit smoking crack. But what I don't have the right to do is call the police on them and say, go lock that person up. I seen them smoking crack. They probably still got some in their back pocket. I think that they should be on a prison plantation where wealth is being generated off of their bodies for smoking crack. Come on, man. Long as they didn't force that crack on nobody else like a child, then, you know, what they do is they damn business. Ain't they got human rights? And if that's what made them happy, then who am I to take away their happiness? I can suggest that you know, that you ain't really benefiting from smoking crack. But, you know, they damn sure ain't going to benefit from being enslaved. But anyway, local sheriffs across America are voicing concerns for the safety of the citizens they're sworn to protect after the biggest one-time release of federal inmates in U.S. history, though advocates of criminal justice reform maintain the release is being handled responsibly. Now, I mean, ain't that the biggest joke? the citizens they're sworn to protect, but I swear to God that they went to the Supreme Court. They argued all the way up to the Supreme Court that they are not employed to protect the rights of the citizens. In fact, the Supreme Court ruled that they ain't employed to respect nobody's rights or anything like that. They are employed to protect businesses. They are employed to protect property. They are employed to enforce law. They ain't employed to protect your rights. The 6,112 inmates were released from federal prison at the beginning of November in response to a decision by the U.S. Sentencing Commission to reduce sentences for most drug trafficking offenses and apply them retroactively. It coincides with a broader and bipartisan push for rethinking federal sentences. In other words, that, you know, we've been practicing an egregious injustice by locking up black people for smoking crack, giving them 100 times the sentence that we would give a white person who was snorting powder cocaine. Again, both of locking up either one of them for any length of time is an injustice in my mind. But they, you know, they want to concede some concessions to those who have been pushing for a more just system. But the mass release raises immediate practical questions about how the ex-inmates can adjust. There's no transition here. There's no safety net. This is the biggest sham that they are trying to sell the American people, share Paul Babot of Arizona's Pinal County told FoxNews.com. Hey, guess where? Why there's no freaking social safety net? Because y'all said that anybody who has been convicted of this crime, they can't live in public housing. They can't apply for food stamps. They can't get federal loans to go to school and get educated and learn a job skill and all of that. So, I mean, we could apply that to anybody. Well, this man knows that the system is designed for repeat customers, as the GO Group and Correction Corporation of America would tell you. We got a chance for repeat customers. That's why they backed that legislation. So he want to say, he want to take the very fact that they eliminated the social safety net for people labeled as felons so they can disenfranchise them, and then he want to claim that's a reason not to let them out. Dang. You see what I'm saying, man? Do these people think about this stuff before they let it fly out their mouth? That ain't even based in no kind of logic, or unless he knows it's not logical, but he know he talking to a bunch of ignorant people who just looking to practice racism because they think most of these people that's being released is black. When it's not just black people that have been impacted by these harsh drug sentences, because white people smoke crack too. Man, on average, she goes on to say, these criminals have been in federal prison for 9 years. You don't have to be a sheriff to realize that a felon after 9 years in jail isn't going to be adding value to the community. A third are illegals and felons, so they can't work. What do we think they are going to do? Said Babot, who is also a congressional candidate. You know, he want to go to Congress so that when black people or any people presents a bill or get somebody to back a bill that's going to implement a system of justice, so he can, you know, vote against it and whatnot. See, that's where Alex Jones want people to go, to a rigged system. Listen to this man. So what he's really arguing for is that these people should be in prison for life. They should be a lifetime slave for life. Because, you know, that's the only way that they add value to the community is by providing me and other prison plantation overseers with a job. Because, see, if we didn't have all these people on the prison plantation, I might be out of a job. So that ain't adding any value to me. You know, And if we take them all out of prison, where most of these prisons is in predominantly white districts, where, you know, all the resources when from the census count goes to the county based on the population numbers, and you done stole these people out of different districts and you put them all in a white district so that you can get those resources that would have went to the other community they was living in if you hadn't kidnapped them and put them into slavery. So, I mean, in reality, he's being truthful, but he's being deceptive. He ain't looking at it the way I'm looking at it, or the average person would look at it. Added value to the community. Damn, if we let all these people out of slavery, then guess what? Some prison guards might be out of a job. Then we're going to have unemployed people, and letting practicing justice ain't adding no value to our community. I mean, look, they've been locked up 9 years. 9 years. And we know they can't get food stamps, and we know they can't get public housing until they can get back on their feet. We know that the halls, the institutions of education ain't going to be open to them. And we know employers like to discriminate against felons. So, why are we letting these people go? Why don't we just keep them slaves for life? That's what he's saying. That's what he out there telling the public. That's what he and a bunch of other ones is out there telling the public. The November inmates are the first of approximately 46,000 who may have their cases reviewed. Of those released in the first round, the Department of Justice says 1,764 were to be turned over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement for deportation proceedings. Sheriff on the border front lines were skeptical of the deportation claim. The promise is they're going to be turned over to ICE and deported. Anyone who thinks there's any likelihood of them leaving the U.S., think again, Babu said. Before saying the president should be held responsible for any crimes committed by those released. Now, let's apply the logic of Alex Jones. Damn it, that's the CEO of America. Congress has passed this law to reduce the crack cocaine disparity and said that they have served all the time that they need to be served. But I don't see these racist suspects saying, well, we just going, they at the top of the pyramid, so we should just listen to what they say. They know what's best. They practicing justice. They know better than us. So we, you know, I trust the president, the CEO of America, to do what he said he's going to do. No, that ain't what this man is saying. He's saying that if they commit any crimes, we going to hold them responsible. Well, guess what? On the campus of Missouri University, University of Missouri, that president got held responsible for the crimes of those little racist white people that was practicing racism and fascism against students on the campus. Let's apply that same logic. And he said himself he did nothing to address those acts of terrorism on the campus. So he got held accountable. See what I'm saying? It's a different standard for black people than it is for these racist white suspects and their proxy racist too. Because I'm sure Sheriff David Clark up there in Milwaukee County, the most hostile county, it appears, in terms of slavery and black people being targeted for the system of slavery, the worst one in the entire United States. A black man is a sheriff there. Wow. That should say, if that doesn't say what proxy racism is, I don't know what does. And I'm sure he's going on Fox News and saying that, you know, these are criminals and thugs and they're going to come out raping people and all that. Look, man, they wasn't in prison for rape. They wasn't in prison for murder. They wasn't in prison for embezzlement. They wasn't in prison for harming anyone else. They were in prison unjustly for either consuming some drugs or selling some drugs to another adult, a consenting adult. Hell, y'all do it all the time. I don't see any of those criminals at the DEA who set up the deal with the Sinaloa drug cartel that allowed them to smuggle drugs across the border into Chicago. I ain't heard nor seen of one person, one DEA agent, being held accountable for allowing them to dump all them drugs into Chicago. I ain't heard nothing about it. So, see what I'm saying, man? It's a lot of propaganda here. Here's a video that Fox News. Let's see if we can listen. Hold up. Only got 5 minutes left in the program. Tando Radio Show be coming on air here shortly. Brother Dave. Maybe it's not long. Let's listen to this propaganda media is saying, will release of thousands of inmates lead to more crime? Well, certainly it will. If you don't help the people get jobs, if you don't provide them with food and housing and whatnot, if you don't provide them with employment, well, damn it. What do you want them to do? Just go live under a bridge and die? Is that what you want? Huh? Because I tell you what, I ain't finna miss a meal. I'm not gonna miss a meal because somebody won't give me a job, because somebody won't give me an education. Cause people want to practice racism and discrimination against me. I'm not gonna miss a meal. I'm coming after you. I'm gonna eat. That's that survival instinct kicking in. I'm gonna eat. I'm not gonna say what I'm doing is right, but I ain't gonna starve. And it seems to me a lot of people got more than their fair share or whatever. So I'm coming to get mines. Let's listen to this racist suspect media. May take a minute or about 30 seconds for this to run out. Let me see if I can get some audio going here. But yeah, this is FoxNews.com. I was tripping out, man, reading the comment sections. Very rarely that they open up the comment sections because they don't want people to know or see all the racists that frequent their website, because them racists, man, they hiding behind computers and whatnot, and they just engage in all kind of garbage.
Starting today, the Justice Department will begin releasing over 6,000 federal inmates whose drug sentences were reduced under new guidelines. This is the first group to be released as a result of the changes. More than 8,000 additional prisoners are eligible to go free between now and next November, most of them doing time for nonviolent crimes involving cocaine and meth. All this after the Sentencing Commission voted last year to cut drug sentences by an average of 2 years and make those reductions retroactive. We're told each prisoner will undergo a public safety assessment before being released. Tucker, what do you think about this?
Well, this country has too many laws and too many penalties. We've criminalized everything. Denny Hastert is pleading to a felony for taking money out of his own checking account. That's what they're getting him for, taking his own money out of his own checking account. So I do think we need justice reform more broadly. On the other hand, let's not overcorrect. Let's not be decadent. Let's not forget what the 80s and early 90s were like in this country. You couldn't go to the grocery store without worrying about getting jumped. Mm-hmm. Crime will go up when we open up the prison gates. Let's just slow down and do this. And I know this is not like consistent with American history. We tend to overcorrect on everything. But let's just do this thoughtfully so our crime rate doesn't spike.
This is what makes me nervous. So AP, I was looking this up, did an analysis of nearly 100 of the cases that are being considered. And they found defendants in there who had carried semi-automatic weapons, mm-hmm. who had convictions for robbery and crimes, who had moved cocaine shipments across states, and who had participated in international heroin smuggling. This is what the AP found, Julie, when they were doing an investigation of the people that are being considered here.
Yeah, look, I am generally for criminal justice reform. Rand Paul was on this couch last week and I actually commended him for his work in doing this, because I think it's very effective. Look, they did studies that show recidivism doesn't go up if the longer you stay in prison for drug dealers or for people who get busted for drugs. I think, Tucker, you're right to say that we bust people for way too much stuff. And if you're in prison because you're dealing a small amount of cocaine or a small amount of meth, and I get that it's a horrible, horrible thing to do to people. But on the other hand, some of these people who are in prison right now need treatment. They don't need to be in prison.
Some, but
we don't stop there. There was some deception engaged there, but some of the comments made sense. Listen, if the people, I don't care if they had prior convictions on something else. All right, they in prison on a charge. They sentenced to prison for a charge. They getting that charge has been, or that sentence has been retroactively reduced. So no, you don't get to keep people in prison just cause they had prior convictions and whatnot in smuggling drugs or whatnot. But I'm telling you that they are the low men on the totem pole. The banks have been laundering drug money, billions, trillions of dollars of drug money. They've been busted. All they did was pay fines. None of the bankers went to prison. The DEA has had deals with the drug cartels to allow them to smuggle drugs as long as they got information. Gave information to DEA about their competition, and who wouldn't take that deal? You know what I'm saying? You gonna bust my competition and just look the other way while I smoke? No, ain't nobody talking about going and arresting them people. And how is all them drugs getting from Afghanistan over here? Seems to me that possibly some military private contractors is behind that. The CIA. Oh, yeah, do you want to bring up the 80s and the 90s? Yeah, who was most responsible for the crack epidemic? Oh, it seems like I remember this guy named Ronald Reagan. All right. So, again, why do they want to control what other people do? So that they can put them into slavery and make money off of them. That way. Again, I am not on here promoting drugs. What I'm on here is promoting liberty. I'm promoting human rights. I don't have to agree with a person shooting heroin or whatnot. That's their business, as long as they do it in their home and it's not affecting me. How is a person shooting heroin affecting me? How is that harming me? It's not. It's not harming me. So anyway, there is a propaganda push to keep these people locked up, while at the same time talking out the side of your mouth, talking about we need reform, we shouldn't lock them up, but if we let them out, crime gonna go up. Well, I mean, come on. Anyway, that's the end of the program. Tando Radio Show's coming on air. I'm a little bit over. Sorry about that, Brother Dave. But check this out as we close out. Recognize the fact you live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. And so that you can decrease the likelihood that you will become a casualty, that you will become a new slave, that you will be killed by police, you need to develop battlefield awareness, battlefield skills, codification, so that you can survive this war. All right? But it ain't all about survival, like I said before. If you really want a system of injustice, it might take some blood to be shed. All right? Freedom ain't free. Somebody got to pay for it. Be back on air tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty. I'm out. Peace and blessings to all.
Playback.
Sound of a fucking drummer. This is a kid in your heart. I know you got a soul.